Thank you, and stay standing for a little bit. I don't know why they hooked me up here, but because what I have to say, well, you can always reuse the tape. But stretch a little bit. If you need to go to the bathroom, do it. It's hard to talk to a guy that's, you know, can't wait. You guys are getting older, some of you, and you might need to take care. So feel free. Now, that'll embarrass you, so you don't want to go out there. I know. Okay, stretch a little bit and then have a seat. Jim asked me if I would come over and just, didn't know what word to use, but I think greet you. And I'm happy to do that. And at 82, you need to have a little prompter list to see what I was going to say. That's not because it's going to be so long, but so that I don't wander off. Let's see. 1 dozen medium eggs, or 1 half gallon and 1%. Oh, no, that's my grocery list for later. I do that after I leave here. And this one, oh, this has to do with the vitamins I'm to get. Take 18 pills a day. You know, I used to think these old folks take a lot of pills. Well, they do. That's not it. In fact, I don't think I even need it. But I wanted to thank you, Jim, for this privilege. And the first thing I want to do is, I don't think Roger is here. Anderson? Not Roger Anderson, Roger Fleming? No. Well, I'm so grateful for Roger, and I'm sure many of you are too who know Roger, for taking over this, the leadership of this work when I left it. And if there ever was a godly man or godly couple that walked this earth, it's Roger and his wife. And we're grateful for them. And then for Jim here, who then took it over next. And we had a little time together on Wednesday. He told me that he thinks about the BNP ministry when he goes to bed, when he gets up in the morning. And I said, well, you've got it. Yeah. And you know, too, that that's when you've got the hang of it. So it's a real privilege. Thank you. I thought I might just share a couple little things. Now, who hath despised the day of small things? One of the great blessings to me to working with businessmen, it has purified my methodology. You've got to make it simple, obviously. And it's helped me then to think through again and again, what are the absolute minimums to living the kind of a life we want to live. And that's been exceedingly helpful as life has been winding down for me and energy diminishes. And you just have to be careful how you expend it. One of the things, in fact, some people ask me, are you writing, what are you doing these days? You traveling? Well, no. If I were, I wouldn't be here right now, because my sister's husband died last week and the funeral's tomorrow out in California. So I do the next best thing. We talk each night on the phone and pray together. Are you writing any books? Well, I've concluded, Jim, I don't know enough about anything to write a book on anything. And especially now when things keep narrowing down. One of the things that's come to my mind is getting back to 1 Corinthians 2:2. Where I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And various things have come into my life that have helped me and focused me. But an odd thing happened. The climax of that for me was about 2 weeks ago when I walked through the living room and Lucy was surfing the TV. And there was Donahue. Well, on the screen, it had the subject of their discussion, which was, is Jesus the only way to heaven? Well, I thought, if there's any program I won't learn anything from, it's Donahue. So I didn't. I didn't stay. But that question stuck with me. And I thought, you know, that's the wrong question. In fact, it's almost irrelevant. If Jesus is only Jesus, of course. He's not only not the only way to heaven, he's not a way to heaven because he was an imposter. But if Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, then whether Donahue or anybody else likes it or not, he is what he said, the only way to the Father. It kind of helps focus things again. Then there's another question, and I don't know, I may be dead wrong on this one. Maybe on the other one, I don't, but not on this, on this one. What would Jesus do? Well, that's very helpful to a lot of people. But I thought, what would Jesus do if you're an 82-year-old man? And nothing would come to me. Oh, I love people. Yeah? But you know, that's not the right question. What would Jesus have me to do? Takes it and puts it in a different realm. And that's easy, because through the man he deputized to speak for him, Paul, he said, teach the older men to be sound in faith. And love, well, starts out, be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, in endurance, perseverance, hanging in there. I've been rather discouraged a little bit over the winter. Just a little times. Lucy and I have been married 60 years in June. And we have worked for all those years trying to reach relatives. Kept in touch. Prayed for them. 70 to 100. Visit. Take things to them. With very little of any. Just one visible result. And now I know mentally how to handle that. But emotionally, I don't all the time. And then I console myself with Jesus said in Mark 6. You know, prophet's not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. But then 2 weeks ago, one of our daughters, we have four daughters, two sons. This one took me out to breakfast for my birthday. And during that time, she said, Dad, I got to tell you something. Where I work, she worked for Cook Publishing. We had a department meeting, and there was a discussion, and it came up, who is your model? And they came around to me, and I said, well, I don't have a model, but I have a hero. My dad. They said, well, why was that? She said, because he perseveres. He hangs in there. Even when he's sick. And I thought, even the family, when I don't think they're listening, they're watching. And at this stage of life, the greatest thing I can do is be a book that's being read. And in my little circle, that's far more important than little sermonettes that I might give. What a privilege. What a privilege. Now, there's one thing I wanted more. I think I wanted to say, but I can't remember what it might have been. No, that's not necessary. Let's see this one. No. But what would Jesus have me do? I don't know. If he's 82 years old and married to an 80-year-old woman with a lot of arthritis. To try to imagine that, it didn't help me. Now, it may help you, but sorry, guys. I'm just talking about me. But when I ask the question, what Jesus want me to do, I know very clearly. It's no problem. It's not complicated. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. I can remember that. Can you? And that's not always easy, too. But you got to remember it. And the other one is 1 Peter 3:7. There's two things. Be considerate and treat him with respect. So every day you pray about that. So obedience to his word, to me at least, sure simplifies life. And what you just finished on, I'll have to tell you another little story. My next door neighbor, we live in a condo, whose door, I checked the other day, is not more than 4 feet from mine. Now, I'd have to say he's an old codger. He's a couple years older than I. We've lived there 5 years now, and I've been trying to win that guy's heart. We've gone out to lunch. I brought him over here. He took me to Air Force Base where he was the commanding officer before he left. But you know, he's probably the angriest man I ever met in my life. Well, something happened. I don't know what happened. In June, he quit talking to me 6 months ago. He won't speak to me. Just the other day, you know, we use the same sidewalk out to get the mail. He's coming back with his. I'm going out to get mine. I said, "Hi, Bob." Not a word. Lucy gave him a book for Christmas, two of them. 2 days later, that book is stuffed back in our door. Now, you know what I wanted to do? Bob, a little thing I could do in my printer. You can go to hell, Lauren. But what did Jesus say? We're just talking about love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute. And that's all I need to know how to treat Bob. And I desperately want to please the Lord in how I treat him, whether he responds or not. Well, thanks. I'll stop right there, okay? I was going to bring an egg timer and set it so it would go off. I don't know how long I've been up here, but it's too long. Okay. Does anybody have a simple question they want to ask me? Yeah. I'm most embarrassed. But in working with men, businessmen, I start with, I took Dawson's rather rigorous trio for himself. An hour a day, a verse a day, and a life a day. Spend an hour a day with the Lord, memorize a verse a day, and touch a life a day. Well, I've scaled that down a bit, just a wee bit. An hour a day with the Lord, a discipline hour, a verse for the day, not a new one every day, but a verse for the day, and then touch a life a day. And in working with people like Carrie Humphreys or others by phone, that was the basic minimums that we would do. And you know how it is. We'd start with the 7 minutes with God, then we'd start with a little different way of approaching scripture memory. Then after some weeks or however long it was, we're ready to start focusing on touching a life a week. And when that began, you know what happened. It happened to you many times. Up till then, we did this by phone. We could do it in 30 to 40 minutes. But when we started reaching out to touch lives, it would take us an hour and a half to cover the ground. But those simple little three things to build on. That's why I couldn't write a book on it, because it's too simple. And I do that today. Today's do list. No, I didn't bring it. But I have up to the left would be my verse for the day, and so on. And then try to touch a life a day, whether for him that meant a non-Christian, unbeliever. For me, that means anybody. But that would mean if I'm in wherever I am, the doctor's office, the nurse, taking chemo, calling my sister, whoever, that at least somebody on purpose, you seek to touch a life for that day. And those three things will lead you into a lot of others. But to me, they're probably the most basic things I could get somebody else to do. Thank you. Oh, no. Another question? I know I get running off too long. That's why I don't want to stay up here.
When you look back over your life, if you had one piece of advice for us, living in the world that we live in, the struggles that we have, if you give us one piece of advice to remember.
Living in the world we live in. Well, the other day I was walking through our office, and one of the ladies there has a desk where people come by and speak to her for information. I always speak when I go by. I said, "Does anybody ask you how is the world treating you?" And why? She said, "Yes." I said, "Would you ask me that question? Because I want to answer somebody." She said, "Okay, how is the world treating you?" I said, "I'm in terrible odds with the world. It's trying to squeeze me into its mold, and I don't want to be like it." And you know, then you go just a little deeper. I don't think this is the answer you're looking for. But my closest friend, and godly a man, and a disciple of men, was my brother Leonard. He died year before last. And over, 6 weeks, 2 months, as he was dying, and he knew it, I talked with him each evening, called him. He lived in California, too. Finally, it got to where he couldn't speak above a whisper. So our other brother got a phone that would amplify his whisper so we could talk. And as we would pray each night, and I would do the praying. And I was amazed, and this is what I want just to impress here. Here he is, he's dying, and he knows it. I'm an 80-year-old man. And the predominant prayer request we had for each other was Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So it starts down in here, doesn't it? With the natural tendencies, the world around us, and as we were talking before, increasingly hostile. But to be salt and light. I don't think that means to go around sprinkling salt. I think it means to be salt. And if I understand that right, salt, the big thing about it, it has to be pure. Or it loses its bite, its savor. And then the other thing, and I've had to work on this, to be light, you got to be visible, Jesus said. And my tendency would be to not want to get up out of a lazy boy, especially when I had cancer. I mean, when I was on treatments. But to let your light shine. And I think to me, myself, as I reflected on being with you guys, and what is it we're trying to build? Well, other foundation can no man lay than that which is Jesus Christ. And if any man build on this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones. You can't build on immorality, laissez-faire. I think that's why the laborers are still few. The Psalm 1 kind of people are 1 in 1,000. Charlie Riggs says they're 1 in 10,000. But these, I guess what I'm saying here, Dwight, is what are the absolute core values, if you want to call them, basics? And as Skip Gray would say, don't waste your ammunition on secondary targets. Hey, thanks for letting me come over. You know what it does for me? It kind of helps me refresh a little bit.